Morning, everybody. Happy Christmas to you all. I have just one quick question for us this morning. Imagine that you were God and you looked at the world and you saw what it was like and you decided to send your only son to resolve it. What would you do? Where would you start? You have unlimited resources, of course, so you could go really big, couldn't you? You could go to Massachusetts, where the Kennedys had their base and the big political center of America. You could go there and surely your message would be heard. Or you could go to Hollywood, maybe, and maybe get your message out through the big films and the great producers of our time. Or maybe you could go to Moscow, and maybe it could be the start of something that looks like a revolution. Or maybe you could go to Beijing and reach the most people you possibly could with one single language. Or maybe you go to Rome, where there seems to be some religious power these days. Would you do that? Which would you choose? Or would you take another way? Would you decide to be born in a barn in a rural town? Would you be so poor that you had no cot, you had to be laid in a feeding trough? Would you choose parents for that baby who were peasants, just carpenters and local people? What would you do? Well, God chose the latter. Why did he do that? Well, it seems to me that one of the reasons was that we're always trying to get more all the time. Big is beautiful in our world, isn't it? God saw maybe the endless pursuit of, I must have more, I must have more. Kings, maybe, then wanted more land, so they mobilized their forces. The merchants wanted more business, more profits, so they were going all out for money. The politicians locally wanted more power. They wanted to control everything. I don't know who the celebrities might have been at that time, but I'm sure they wanted more fame, more beauty. But when we look at it, step back a moment, we kind of can admit, can't we, that this insane pursuit of more doesn't get us very far. In fact, very often it can devastate our lives. And Jesus' arrival really kind of foxed this myth that more is better, big is better. We know we don't really get much satisfaction from that extra purchase that we make. Those of us that went out on Black Friday, jostling with the crew, with our fellow consumers. What's happened to that which we bought? Has it run out? The batteries stopped working? Of the gift been given and the recipient didn't really like it? Or what's happened to them? Or those, maybe some of us have already gone online for Boxing Day sales. I see Boxing Day starts online on the 23rd of December now. Very strange. Or maybe you are going to go out on real Boxing Day and get the old elbows out in Bury or Cambridge or London or wherever you tend to go. But Jesus' arrival proves that less is more, less is better, less is beautiful. Are we being sucked into a game which says we just have to have that next thing? A game which never satisfies us because more always overpromises and under-delivers, doesn't it? We all get sucked into it. I noticed yesterday, again, myself, one of the things I tend to do is to over-cater. I always cook too much or put too much on the table or serve too much. I can't ever sort of get it under control, really. And I was reminded yesterday, again, I did it again yesterday. It's the one thing I have. I just kind of, it's too much. I always put too much on the table. And it's obscene, really. Today, 2 billion people live on less than $2 a day. A staggering number of people in our world are poor. That's why Jesus' arrival was a bit low-key. That's why he didn't have the baby shower, which seems to be all the rage. Thankfully, it wasn't when our children were younger. Although, I did realize that he did have three very special gifts from the wise men, didn't he? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I think they were symbols of his lifelong character and what he meant and his sacrifice. Jesus wouldn't have alienated a world by coming in glory, coming with crowns on, coming with riches, coming to control, coming to dominate. He identified with us instead. He came to Bethlehem, to a barn, to a manger, with quite poor parents. And there's no confusion about his mission, therefore. It wasn't a political mission. He wasn't born in Rome, although he did challenge every politician since then. It wasn't economic, his mission. He wasn't born in the city, although he does challenge every banker, every actuary, every insurance broker since then. God's rescue plan, however, was for ships that are sinking, communities in distress, those defined by fear or despair, those feeling shame and hopelessness in their lives. I read the other day that when the Titanic sank, quite a few ships came at first to try and mount a rescue operation, but the Navy was never mobilised. The British Navy wasn't ever mobilised. And that was because they felt that within just 8 or 9 hours, it would have been too late. It was too cold. It was too deep. It was too difficult. And it was too costly for the British government to mount a rescue. We might feel like the Titanic in our lives. There is no hope. No fate is too deep, however, for God to rescue us from. No price is too high for him to pay for us. So if we're on the wrong track, taking a path we never intended, trying to follow a self-improvement plan that's doing the opposite, if we're full of shame and despair, the good news at Christmas is that God sent his Son for exactly that reason, for you and me, on a salvage mission with you and me in mind. He sent Christ. He is here today to rescue you and me. And it's quite simple, really. We simply have to admit where we are in front of God. Call on the name of Jesus, it says in Romans, because he will then rescue us. Whoever calls, God will rescue. Time to say to God, well, I'm sinking. I need your rescue plan. Have you got the heart for me, God? Looking around the room today, I know the stories of many of us here. We have many testimonies of how God has rescued us. And I have my own story, which I've told parts of now and then, and I won't go into now for reasons of brevity. But anybody, even me, can be rescued. Everybody can be rescued by God. It might sound too good to be true, but it is true, and it is good. Can I suggest we just pray for a moment and invite God into our lives this Christmas? Jesus, the Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Father, we thank you that your grace means that your arm is outstretched to us. You are running towards us already. We simply have to turn round and face you, admit where we are before you, that our quest for more is not working. We need to allow you to simplify our lives, to bring your grace and your love to them. So, Father, this Christmas, we invite you into our lives, our homes, our families. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you. Amen.